You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Warning Wednesday. We're calling it Warning Wednesday. We're calling it Wacky Wednesday. Whatever it is you want to call it, is our consumer awareness feature that we do as many Wednesdays as we can to help get you better prepared for the financial world out there and for the scams that we've been picking up on, so that you don't fall victim to these scams. We're joined, as we are usually for this particular segment, by the Divisional Head of Enforcement at the FSCA, Gerard van Deventer, to take a look at some of the warnings, take a look at some of the work they've been doing as the FSCA, and take a look at how you can keep your money safe. Good evening, lovely to catch up with you as always. It's been a long year. I mean, you and I started this particular conversation piece around last year, and over the last year we've done well over 50 warnings around various things, around various scams and things that we've picked up on, things that you've been investigating from your side as the FSCA. Clearly it's been a very busy year.
Unfortunately, yes, Jimmy, and good evening to everybody. It's unfortunately been a very busy day, busy year. I wish it wasn't, because I know behind every warning there's a lot of really terrible stories of people having lost their funds, and sometimes people who really cannot afford it. But you're absolutely right. If I look back at the year, I can see it's been very busy, and a lot of work went into all these Wednesdays that you and I spoke about.
When we look at some of the things we've spoken about, we've touched on so many different things around what consumers are up against and what consumers are facing, and things like the evolution of AI and how impersonation scams are coming about, and people using unauthorized methods and all of that. Would you say that these challenges are getting better or getting worse at this point? I mean, I would think that the introduction of AI just means that your work at the FSCA and the work that we're trying to do here becomes that much harder, because we can't really tell the difference between what's good and what's bad anymore.
You're absolutely right. It's interesting that you pose that question now. Just this morning we were listening to a Japanese team talking about AI and, you know, the developments in AI and how they approach it from a regulatory point of view. And of course, Jimmy, if you listen to the wonderful things that AI are doing, it's just great that we have that development in the world. Unfortunately, this is also opportunities that it creates. And I mean, I've been around for a long time, and if you told me that somebody could make any of us or anybody else say something that we've never said, I would have said that is pure science fiction. Unfortunately, it is not. The Japanese Market Authority just showed us an example this morning of their commissioner, the head of the commission, punting a scheme that of course he was unaware of. And you know, in South Africa, we had so many examples of that. Well-known people, semi-celebrities and so forth, even journalists, anchor persons, saying things and punting schemes that's simply not the truth. It is nearly, well, I would say it's undetectable. I won't be able to know that it's not the case. And it's all about the scams. And of course, it extends to other areas as well. You get these messages, and it sounds like it's coming from your boss, or it sounds like it's coming from the financial officer, and it instructs you to do something. So it actually extends outside our world of financial services. But inside our world of financial services, you must have heard the expression many times that markets are driven on sentiment. So if there's a well-known person talking about this great new investment, people are going to follow that. And that is unbelievable where that has landed in terms of technical ability. So we cannot tell the public enough times not to listen to any of this and to deal directly with your financial advisor, and on the basis that you phoned him or her, a telephone number, etc. But of course, Jimmy, what is the golden rule at the end of all of this? It doesn't matter who's speaking. If that person is telling you something that's clearly unrealistic, then you don't even have to think about it any further. Then you know you're dealing with a scam.
When we look at the scams and we look at the things that have been put out there, I think one of the things that we perhaps might not have emphasized enough is how difficult it is to recover your losses from these scams. So we've often talked about not getting into them in the first place and not falling for the things. And if it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true. But I think perhaps we should also take a look at the consequence side of it. Is if you put your money into these scams, are you ever likely to recover your money? Are you ever likely to even see a fraction of your money? Because now it becomes a separate kind of legal matter. It gets very complicated once monies are frozen and all sorts of things around that. Let's perhaps look at that, the consequence side of it, and hopefully in doing so, people can get a better understanding of just how painful this can be.
Absolutely. So yeah, that is a good point. I think the first important point to make there, Jimmy, is the fact that especially with online trading and with these scams stretching across borders, you have to accept that the moment that you are scammed, that money moves extremely fast and they will get it out of the country very quickly. And if it's large amounts, they cut it up into many accounts and eventually it will disappear. And linking on to that, it is so unfortunate that there are jurisdictions in the world that do not have proper regulation, financial regulation, and that do not pay attention to what their own citizens do, and it's often corporate citizens. So we look at the world and we divide it into two. We look at the world and say, here are some countries and they have some serious financial regulation. And you can imagine that Europe and America and Canada and so forth, and they will not knowingly allow a scammer to operate from their base. But then you get other jurisdictions where there's actually nothing more than you can register a company in that jurisdiction. So you have to understand if a scammer is operating from one of those, I'm going to say, if you look at something like St. Vincent and the Grenadines, there's no regulation. So if the company is operating from there, they have nobody to answer to. And we have nobody to contact and say, help us with this investigation. It's different with well-regulated jurisdictions. There we have an international agreement. We can contact those countries and those financial regulators, and we assist each other with investigations. But I think the major point here, of course, is that money moves fast and it disappears fast. The chances of recovering money in a scam is close to zero. Sometimes we get lucky. Sometimes we catch them unaware and the money is still somewhere in an account in South Africa. We then immediately contact the FIC, the Financial Intelligence Center, and they can put a freeze, a hold on that account and for a few days, 10 days. And that gives us enough time to bring the matter to the attention of the Asset Forfeiture Unit of the National Prosecuting Authority. And they can bring an application for safeguarding those funds and eventually forfeiture. But it's a legal process. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And then that money must go back, which is also a big issue. So let's talk about the few instances where you can actually, where you do actually find some of the investment funds that's been misappropriated. It's likely to end in a liquidation because somebody will bring an application, that entity will be liquidated. Now, what does that mean to the poor investor? Liquidation is pre-run by, of course, an expensive application to court. That expensive application to court is often opposed because the investigated parties have all these millions that they're sitting on. So once you've gone through all that expensive process, then, of course, the liquidation itself, the process of liquidation is an expensive process. So you can appreciate that at the end of the day, what's left for the investor is certainly not their full investment. And looking specifically at Ponzi schemes, you know, a Ponzi scheme eventually runs into trouble, and then there's definitely not enough money to pay back. So we've had some good news stories where we convinced people to pay some money back, but I have to very quickly add that that is by far the minority of cases. Bottom line is you don't have a great an opportunity of getting your funds back. And of course, it's made much worse by the entry of crypto assets, much easier to move across jurisdictions, and it's it's much more difficult to trace, whilst the blockchain and where these monies go to, where these assets go to, is public information. It's easy. You still don't know in whose crypto wallets they land. So that's a big help for the scammers. And of course, they know this and they act accordingly.
Well, before I let you go, I want to take a look at just some of the new things that we can expect going into the new year. I mean, you and I touched on this last week in our chat to say that the cooperation with international financial regulators like the FSCA from around the world, that's increasing now because a joint effort is seemingly more effective than everybody operating in isolation. Some of the other things that you have in mind to tackle these challenges that you faced over the last year. I mean, it clearly is very evident that these challenges are not going to go away, and I suppose we have to find new ways to deal with them.
Absolutely. So, of course, the one obvious thing is that the financial regulator must also use AI to work more smarter. So we do use AI in our investigation and enforcement already, but it's, I don't know if this is a real word, Jimmy, but it's more lower level AI to follow money, to analyze bank accounts, to do social media monitoring, to look for catchphrases that would be, that would be suspicious, etc. But I think financial regulators, and I'm talking about ourselves, we need to harness AI a bit more so that we can work smarter and we can be more efficient. And I think there's a lot of room for that to happen. It's very interesting if you talk about forensic AI. They talk about the human in the room. So they will say, if you're going to use this for forensics, somewhere along the line, the end result must go through a human so that you don't get a ridiculous result based on logic only. So I think that's something that we are looking at, and we're seeing how we can harness this better. International cooperation with other financial regulators, very strong on that. And that provides the opportunity to engage with these social media platforms and other platforms to say, well, a whole lot of regulators is now speaking to you, and you should do more when it comes to protecting your clients on your platform against scams. So that's something that we definitely also are focused on to do it better. If only there was, there was a way to get this message out stronger. That would be great. But I think also the last point I want to make there is we do a lot of work on improving our collaboration with prosecution and police, especially the Hawks. And that, at the end of the day, is an important thing. It is to be able to put a message out there that if this is what you're going to do, you have a real risk of ending up in jail. And if you look, for instance, at the Steinhoff people and so forth, it's a reality that you will end up in jail. And we certainly have no qualms with using a lot of our resources to support our prosecutors in their endeavors to get scammers into jail.
We're going to continue doing our part. We're going to continue to see if we can create more awareness around these sorts of things. And hopefully, by doing this, you as the population, as the people that get this message, are not going to be victims of these sorts of scams anymore. We leave the conversation there. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Gerard van Deventer, Divisional Head of Enforcement at the FSCA, joining me for our Warning Wednesdays and just what's been done over the last year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.